You're in the 06010.
Focus. Fantasy Focus.
Hello and welcome into Fantasy Focus. Today's show is presented by Geico. Insurance can be hard. That's why Geico makes it easy with 24/7 claim service and on-the-go policy info in the app. It is easy to Geico. My name is Daniel Dopp. In case you forgot what my voice sounds like, because I've been gone so much over the last 2 weeks, joined by my best friend, Stefania Bell. I've hardly seen you, Stefania, but it is great to see your face on this Friday. How you doing?
It's just you and me.
Just you and me.
Again.
I know.
This is the second time this has happened.
This is not too bad.
My computer's chiming in.
Oh, well, we don't. That's okay. That's
how
all right.
Are you?
I'm feeling so much better. A huge shout out. I know you, Mike, Field, everybody's been filling in for me while I have been down and out. I got my butt kicked by some bug that wasn't the flu and wasn't COVID, but I had been feeling terrible. I finally feel back to normal.
You have that energy about you. Oh, you have your glow back.
I am ready to finally be here. You know that you're ready to be back at work when you're like sick of sleeping on the couch. I'm tired of being at home. I just want to be back with my friends talking about football. And that's what we're going to do today.
Let's
Stefania.
Go.
So let's dive into a bunch of things. Mike Clay is going to join us a little bit later as we dive into our week 14 preview.
By the way, I still haven't seen Mike Clay. I think he's afraid to face me after my 49ers crushed him this week.
So. You guys are like ships passing in the night. He's making sure you guys
he's
never.
He's like the little, dinghy that's going around.
That's
like
what it is.
My big boat.
Let's dive into a handful of injury updates. Of course, you've got a yacht, Stefania.
Of course.
Let's dive into a handful of injury updates here. And I want to start with a positive one. Sometimes we say some negative stuff. But we're supposed to maybe get Justin Jefferson back, Stefania. What can you tell us about that? And should we be excited as fantasy managers?
Well, we should be excited. We should be excited for Justin Jefferson because he just makes the game of football better.
Oh, yeah.
So we are thrilled that he is coming back this week. All signs point to that, barring a huge surprise. I think it's important to recap just what we've been through while we've ridden along with Justin Jefferson on this injury train. Yeah. He was injured week 5 when he slipped in the end zone while making a cut during a route or near the end zone and immediately knew that something was wrong. Mm-hmm. This is a young man who had never missed time due to injury in the 3 years he'd been in the NFL prior to this. So it was really tough for him, a significant hamstring injury. Do you know prior to this? He had played 92% of the offensive snaps. That's how important he was to his team. Ends up going out on injured reserve, but he was very clear, and the Vikings were clear all along, that he was not going to return at 80 or 90%. He wanted to be sure that he was 100%. And while you've often heard me say, if you've listened to me over the years, that the only way to know that you're really past a soft tissue injury is go out and play and not have a setback. So until we accomplish that, we won't know for sure. But with all the metrics and all the performance testing, functional testing, all the sensors that they wear that can look at acceleration, deceleration, load volume, all of that.
Yeah.
He is now at a place where he feels comfortable. He's obviously been back in practice for a while.
Yep.
And I think we took our cues from him being limited in practice. As long as he was limited, he wasn't coming back. Well, now he's full participant. He looks the part. He is ready to go. We're going to see him at the Raiders. And for fantasy purposes, what I would say is we talk about performance metrics dipping often for players coming off of significant soft tissue injuries at the skill position, like wide receiver, like running back. But on average, wide receivers miss about 5 games. We talked about him being injured in week 5. We're at week 14. I think that extra time and his insistence about not coming back till he was at his peak form, I'm not looking for much of a drop off in performance. I mean, we'll have to see when he gets into the game, but I think from a volume standpoint, maybe it won't be 92% of the snaps, but I think it's going to be high volume, high workload. I don't think there's going to be restrictions on him.
Gosh.
I'm looking forward to seeing the Justin Jefferson that you had in week 1.
I am very ready for that as well. And I think everything that you're describing sounds like, because this kid said to himself, I'm not going to come back until I'm fully ready. The idea of the recidivism that sometimes we see in these injuries where guys come back, you talk about, well, you know, Stefania, we learned some things here, but you feel a lot better because rather than try to come back maybe a little too early or come back and push it 100% when he needs to have a little bit of a ramp up time, it's like, no, I want to take my time. I want to make sure that I feel like I'm 100% there. And that's kind of what it feels like with what you're describing. So that when we throw him out there, that expectation isn't that big drop off that we have felt like for some of the other players we've seen.
You bring up a really good point. point because one of the things that players deal with when they have a significant hamstring injury is apprehension.
Yeah.
They are afraid to stretch it out. They're afraid to really let loose and go at full speed because they're afraid that the hamstring's going to pull. So having had the opportunity to test it in so many different ways, I think makes him more confident going into the game. All of that is a factor. I don't think we appreciate it often enough, but I really think those things could be the difference in what you see from him out of the gate on Monday night.
Justin Jefferson will be back this week then, and you should have him in your fantasy lineup.
Not Monday night.
Well, not Monday.
Against the Raiders. Yes, we have, two Monday night games.
That's right.
There's a lot to keep track of.
There's a lot to keep track of there. All right, Stefania, a couple more updates here with the NFC North as well. You got Christian Watson, who we saw pull up with the hamstring, and Aaron Jones, who's been dealing with a bunch of stuff. What can you tell us about a couple of Packers?
Well, so Aaron Jones is a tough one. This is an MCL sprain for him, injured week 11, which was November 19th for them. And he's been out ever since. Now, he came back to his first practice on Thursday. They do play Monday night. Okay. So again, your first practice report is on Thursday, and I'm told he was moving very well, listed as a limited participant, but it's still hard to know if this is going to be enough for him to actually play in a game on Monday. We've seen Aaron Jones out with an MCL sprain before. He's come back more quickly, but you have to remember, this is a guy who had a hamstring injury in week one that he was then out till week four, came back with a low volume of work, re-injured in practice the following week, missed more time. And when he came back, it wasn't until week nine that we saw his normal workload.
Okay.
And then he was injured again week 11. So think about that. In the spectrum of the entire season, we haven't really seen Aaron Jones at full strength other than for about 3 weeks. Week one, he looked fantastic. And then this little mini stretch, 9-10, until he got hurt in week 11. So I'm not sure if he's back this week. You're going to have to follow the reports up until game time. But even then, I'd be a little bit concerned from a fantasy standpoint about how much work does he get. Obviously, they haven't been getting it done on the ground, so they're going to want to use him. But I'm just a little nervous from the injury standpoint. As far as Christian Watson, another right-sided hamstring injury, this is the one that caused him to start the season in week four. I mean, he had the injury in the preseason, did not start until later. If you saw him, did you see this when he went down?
Christian Watson?
It was almost like when a player takes himself to the ground when they're trying to stay in bounds. And that, like, he just curled up into a little ball and then grabbed his right hamstring. Pretty hallmark sign that he knew exactly what was going on. I feel for him. This has become a chronic problem for him. You wonder, you know, scar tissue, and that can cause problems where you have this re-injury rate. Hard to imagine him playing on Monday night. Didn't practice on Thursday. He says this episode not as bad.
Yeah.
But it's very hard to imagine him playing with the history that he has.
He has been so tough for fantasy managers this year. We've obviously had a lot of conversation about Christian Watson this season with everything that we've done. However, I don't think that we're expecting him. We've pulled him out of the projections for this week. We're not expecting him to play Monday night. Jaden Reed, a guy that we may talk about a little bit later in the show, because he has looked fantastic for these Packers as a pass catcher in the last couple of weeks.
Do you know that Christian Watson has somewhere between 1 and 3 catches from weeks 4 to 11?
Wow.
That was it. And remember, because we kept talking about it, right?
Yep.
And then week 12, 5 for 94. Week 13, 7 for 71. But then he goes down.
But then he goes down.
Right. So I don't know if the volume is that going to be the Achilles. I shouldn't use the Achilles heel. But I mean, is that going to be a problem for him? Is that kind of volume and workload going forward? I wonder.
We'll have to continue to watch that and manage that as well. We'll check in on Aaron Jones as well on Fantasy Football Now on Sunday. Make sure that you check in with us on ESPN2 and ESPN News this week from 10 to 12 p.m. on ESPN2 and then 12 to 1 on ESPN News. All right, Stefania, let's talk Derrick Henry, because again, we talked at the beginning of the week, there were some conflicting reports about a concussion or not having a concussion. They've got a game on Monday Night Football, so they have an extra day regardless of what's going on. What do you know about Derrick Henry?
Well, just to recap, he was evaluated for a concussion late on Sunday. And, you know, when he was evaluated, it was very late in the game, so he didn't return. So I don't think we had the full picture. But he was not in the concussion protocol at the start of the week, as Mike Vrabel said, which means that they did not believe that he suffered a concussion. That doesn't mean they don't follow the athlete for symptoms, monitor, make sure there's nothing that's a setback in the start of the week. And Monday, he went through a workout and got through it fine, did not have any symptoms. So he continued as a regular participant for this week. Now, he got a rest day on Thursday, but Derrick Henry gets rest days all the time. So this was literally a rest day, not an injury related thing. We do expect him to play Monday Night Football.
Okay. Love to hear that. If you're a fantasy manager, you want Derrick Henry out there on Monday night. What about Breece Hall? He injured his ankle. Are we going to see him this week?
Yeah, it's not clear exactly when this cropped up. You know, he was listed on the injury report last week with a hamstring injury. Goes in, has a normal workload for Breece Hall and doesn't have any obvious injury, but then shows up on the injury report because of his ankle, has not practiced yet this week, but has been doing work on the side. According to Rich Cimini, Breece Hall said he expects to play.
Okay.
So straight from him, he's been very true in his predictions for himself so far. So based on that, it doesn't sound like it was anything serious, but maybe something where proactively they were holding him out.
All right, we'll keep watching that again as we get closer to Sunday on Breece Hall. And we got a couple of tight ends that we want some updates on. What can you tell us?
So Dawson Knox, wrist surgery for Dawson Knox of the Buffalo Bills, has missed five games, weeks 8 through 12, with the wrist injury, was designated for return this week, comes back and is a full participant in practice and apparently looks pretty good. So it sounds like Dawson Knox will make his return. We can talk about whether you like that or not for Dalton Kincaid, but I would also say, coming off wrist surgery, you're never sure how they're going to be in all phases of the game. So they're going to want to see it. He may not get a pre-injury volume of work. Dallas Goedert, we've been talking about this. I expect to see him back for the Eagles from that fractured forearm, full participant against the Cowboys. And then Darren Waller, we're starting to hear from him, but he is not officially practicing yet, doing a little work, running some routes on his own. Hopes to be back next week. Stay tuned.
Okay. Hopefully we get all of those tight ends back. I cannot wait to have Dallas Goedert back in my starting lineup. Yeah. Stefania, that is going to be fantastic for my playoff push.
I know, me too. I've got him in a couple of leagues and I've been waiting.
Yes.
So.
All right. Make sure that you follow Stefania on the X at Stefania_ESPN for all the latest injury updates. Stefania, thank you so much for hanging out with us. And I will see you on Sunday morning on Fantasy Football Now. But for now, I am going to help us pay some bills because we're going to talk about our friends over at Geico. Are you overwhelmed by insurance? Make it easy. Get all your insurance in one place with Geico. Plus, get 24/7 claim support and on-the-go policy access with the award-winning Geico mobile app. It is pretty fantastic as far as mobile apps go, guys. See how easy insurance can be and go to geico.com today. All right, back here on Fantasy Focus. My name is Daniel Dopp, here with my buddy Mike Clay now.
Hey.
We are diving into a Thursday night football recap before we get into the week 14.
Yeah, it's weird. I'm on this side.
Yeah.
I'm not used to this. This is going to take some adjustment period.
Yeah.
It's like we just made a line change. I subbed in for Stefania, but I'm playing like the wrong position. Like usually I'm left wing.
And that's now my right wing. Yeah.
And, you know, it's just like left tackle and right tackle in football. Sometimes it's not easy to, you know, to transition between one and the other. So we'll see how this goes. I'm going to do my best to hold down the fort.
You're going
to
power through.
I won't allow any sacks. We'll see what happens.
Did you get a chance to talk to Stefania about your 49ers Eagles game in between those?
Look, I did on, I believe it was, when did they play? Sunday. Sent her a nice text.
Okay.
You know, 49ers kicked her butt. Congratulations. And she didn't answer.
Here's my credit card.
She did not answer.
No, nothing. Oh,
sorry.
Wow.
I mean, I tried to be the bigger guy, but whatever. I owe Stefania dinner and wine, and we're hoping for a rematch in the playoffs because... I don't know if the Lions will be in that mix.
Whoa!
But we'll see. We'll see if they're in the mix during the playoffs.
Out.
But yeah, I'm hoping for a rematch because
because you got your butt kicked and
that was embarrassing.
I like a double or nothing there.
Well, we got Shaq Leonard now.
Hey, things can change pretty quickly when you add a guy like that to your defense.
You got it.
All right, let's dive into a Thursday night football recap. I think we both thought this one was going to be one of the best Thursday night football games of the year.
That was as predicted by the, what was the line, 30?
It was as low as it's been in the last 15 years or something like that.
Yeah, it was pretty low. There's a lot of games in the 30s this week. And it went over 39 a little bit. So we got some offense right out of the gate. The Patriots, you know, did something offensively. You know, it was nice to see some sign of life from that Patriots offense. Just give us something.
Yeah.
Some fantasy points. You
know? I mean, Bailey Zappi looked pretty good. I did not expect, well, let's start here. I did not expect to see 30 opportunities for Ezekiel Elliott, including 8 targets and 7 catches in the receiving game. Like, he looked fantastic in this one.
Yeah, I think that's the benefit of a guy that's been a feature back in the NFL, being a part-timer all season long. And I know that he has a lot of wear on the tires. But you know, when you're a person or a player with that skill set, and he was playing pretty good ball and not super old. It's not like he's 35, right? For a running back anyway.
Yeah.
He was able to do this, not the whole season, but do it for maybe a week or two. So last week had 21 touches, 92 yards was fine. This week, to your point, they only 55 offensive snaps. I think that kind of played into it. Had they played 65 or 70, closer to league average, might not have played 91% of the snaps, but he was on the field for 50 of 55, 22 carries, 8 targets. I know. Productive as both a rusher and a pass catcher. And, you know, based on Ramondre Stevenson's injury, would not be surprising if he's out for another game. So we could see something similar next week. Very little Ty Montgomery has to change the pace back. Jamichael Hasty, I thought, would be active and get a few touches. That was not the case. Kevin Harris was active and it was a non-factor. So I would expect the same thing next week. I believe they play Kansas City. Is it Kansas City next week? But nonetheless, he's going to be in a situation where he's playing a lot again if Ramondre remains out.
I did not expect, and I had Zeke as a top, I think he was running back 20 for me, but
me too.
He was not a guy that I really felt confident in starting, because it's like you've got a backup running back, an older backup running back on a 2-10 team that has been awful offensively with a guy named Bailey Zappi that's going to be starting. To me, it felt like I'm going to be staring at 5.4 in my box score all weekend long before I even get to the Sunday games. Instead, he gives you 27 fantasy points and he looked fantastic.
So that's why I say chase volume.
That's what it is.
That's what you do. Chase volume, by the way. Good. Yep, we decided it's a good fullback name. H-back, fullback. We like that. That's a good name for
it. It's also a crappy fullback band, I think, that we've never heard.
That would be
great.
Yeah, chase volume. But yeah, I mean, that's it. That's why we always push. That's why we say volume is king. If you look at a situation, you're like, this guy's probably looking at 20 touches. Almost barring the absolute extremes, which, again, to your point, this was almost
this
the
is
extreme.
Almost extreme. Yeah.
You're going to start that player. I mean, you know, 20th in our rankings, we were telling you start him, and it worked out.
And it worked out. Hey, what about Bailey Zappi? We did not say that you should start him, but has he shown you enough that, like, maybe he is a streamer, or is this just a one-week thing?
No. Look, you see this sometimes from shaky quarterbacks. Does things go right? He had 3 touchdowns in this game. It was impressive to go into Pittsburgh and get this done, but he was not very good last week. Certainly was not anywhere near a fantasy starter. Had a 150 through the air in that game. In the past, hasn't been much of a fantasy factor as well. This is a guy that the Patriots, remember, waived earlier, late in the offseason. So, no, he's not. I wouldn't say he's the answer. If he does it a few more times, maybe then he's in the streaming radar, but we're a little late in the game at this point. I don't expect him to be anywhere close to the top 12, top 15, maybe top 20 radar.
How about Hunter Henry? Because he was as efficient as it gets. 3 catches, 2 touchdowns, 40 some yards, 19 fantasy points. It's like Hunter Henry has a handful of these games every single year, Mike, just to play with us fantasy managers.
Yeah, he absolutely does. It's
infuriating.
It's brutal. It's brutal. You cannot start him. He had 3 targets in this game. And over his last 3 games, had 9 targets, so 3 per game. Oh, he's right on track.
Yeah.
5 catches, 36 yards, no touchdowns. Prior to this game, he had 2 touchdowns in this one. Prior to that, 1 touchdown in his prior 10 games, and also hasn't been over 39 yards since week 4.
Oh, wow.
This is not a guy you're considering for your lineup. And remember, they were down a ton at the wide receiver position in this game. Lee Cunningham was essentially their number 4 wide receiver, and he's a quarterback. He's a versatile quarterback. And they just went heavy on 2 and 3 tight end sets. Farrell Brown played a lot. Mike Gesicki was a non-factor, but he was on the field more. It's just they were basically, they're forced to use Henry more, and still he only had 3 targets.
Yeah.
I mean, no, not a fantasy starter.
Not a fantasy starter. He's a guy that you use in a showdown lineup on an island slate. That's how you play Hunter Henry and Bailey Zappi in fantasy football.
You got it.
Let's talk about the other side of this. Mitch Trubisky, obviously the quarterback with Kenny Pickett being out. How'd you feel this Steelers offense looked with Mitch under center?
Not good. They lost to the Patriots at home after losing 5 days ago to the Cardinals. I believe this was a new NFL record, right? It's the first team ever, I believe it was, with a winning record to lose 2 consecutive games to teams that were both 8 games or more under 500, which there's a lot to that, but it just shows you that there's no, it's unreal that they just lost to the Cardinals and the Patriots within 1 week. A lot of teams were criticizing them for being a little bit fraudulent, but they were chipping away and finding ways to win. It sounds like there might be a case there because they're going the wrong direction in a hurry. So unimpressive again, just very little production for their skill guys. There's not really much of an excuse here. I mean, they have too many good players.
Yeah.
With Pickens and Deontay Johnson and Pat Freiermuth now healthy at tight end, two good running backs.
Yep.
To get this little out of an offense is really disappointing. And I think if you go into next year with Kenny Pickett, you're accepting quarterback purgatory. You know, like I don't know that he's going to be a superstar. And it's like, remember, he's like 25 now.
Yeah.
Came in a little into the league a little older. They're going to have to go quarterback shopping, I think, if they want to fix this. There's That's too many good skill guys. You got to get the most out of them.
Yeah, and I don't see, like, nothing's going to change right now in the Steelers offense. The way that we have been looking at these running backs, that's going to be what they are in the fantasy playoffs. The way that we've been looking at Deontay Johnson and George Pickens, they're dart throws at this point. I don't feel confident in anyone in this offense, unfortunately. It's going to be tough sledding if you are rostering any Pittsburgh Steelers that you need to be starting in the fantasy playoffs. Good luck.
Yeah, I think Johnson fits the bill of just too good to sit. He has scored a touchdown in two straight games. Touchdown machine, suddenly. Guy that didn't find the end zone at all last year. 12-plus fantasy points in 5 of his 9 games. You know, some of them he was kind of beat up, limited a little bit. So he's been fine enough to start, but Pickens way off the radar. That's just not happening. And then you're right, the running backs, you know, they were using both guys. It was more so Najee early in the season. It wasn't going well. They kind of leveled out the playing field between the two, and it was working there for a little bit, but now they're back to both struggling. Jaylen Warren, 8 or fewer fantasy points in 3 straight, 11 touches and 10 touches in his last 2 games. So the volume's down a little bit for him. He was outsnapped by Harris by 5 in this game. And then Harris under 10 fantasy points in 3 of his last 4, but his volume's a little better. 16 touches per game since week 3. I actually had Harris a little ahead of Warren in this one, but the fact is they're both like uninspiring flex options at this point.
Yes.
They were starting to creep into that top 24, top 20 conversation, but it's just not happening. This offense just is not good.
I'm totally with you. Every time I look at Jaylen Warren and Najee Harris, I have them. It's like I flip-flop them back and forth every week. Oh, this week's a Jaylen week. This week's a Najee week. And
it's a neither of them week.
Exactly. They both get enough volume, but not enough volume for me to feel confident in either one. So this backfield, I think, is what it is. What you've been seeing so far is what you're going to get once we get into the fantasy playoffs with these Pittsburgh Steelers. All right, Mike Clay and Daniel Dopp here on Fantasy Focus, diving into our Week 14 preview, Part 1. Yesterday on Thursday's show, it was Field Yates and Tyler Fulgham diving into the Week 14 preview. This is Part 2. Mm-hmm. So you can go back and watch that in case you have not seen it. We are going to dive into a handful of good games here. Cowboys and Eagles. Mike Clay talking about your Philadelphia Eagles. We got DeAndre Swift up first. He had a rough go of it last week. 20 total yards on 8 touches against the 49ers. This week against the Cowboys, do you see a bounce back coming, or is this going to be another tough one for DeAndre?
Yeah, so I have him 20th in my rankings. That's probably the lowest we've had him since week 2, probably, before he had that big breakout game. It's been a while. You're right. He's trying to kind of trending down a little bit, which was somewhat predictable because the Eagles said they didn't want to overutilize him. We've seen a little bit more Kenneth Gainwell. We also have the Giants coming up twice on the schedule. That's Boston Scott territory, so you got to keep an eye out for that. Almost a guarantee to score a touchdown.
That's not a joke. When you say that, are you joking, or do you mean that a little bit?
I'm very curious to check the ESPN bet app and see what the anytime touchdown is for Boston Scott, because it's like a thing now. Like,
it is.
The Eagles try to give him work near the goal line. Remember when the 49ers are forcing touches to Christian McCaffrey at the goal line to keep the streak going? Yep. The Eagles do that with Boston Scott against the Giants. So that's
real.
Definitely keep an eye out for that. I'm with you. As for Swift, I mean, look, we have him ranked lower. He's coming off the down game. He did have 6 targets, though, in that one. That's his most since week 6. So that was a point in the right direction. And again, one bad game. The prior two, he had 84 plus yards and 15 plus touches in both of those games. So he's down a little bit from where he was, but he's still hanging in there as a startable fantasy commodity. Tough matchup, though. Cowboys' 3rd fewest fantasy points allowed to running backs. He had 74 yards on 20 touches against the Cowboys earlier this season. It was about a month ago. So, you know, kind of mixed feelings. It's kind of like the Zeke analysis, right? Yep. Not a great situation, but he's going to get decent volume. The Eagles have a good offense. This could be a high-scoring game for sure between these two teams. It's very possible. So Swift should be in lineups.
He is a flex play for me, I think, because of how he has looked against this Cowboys defense. Only 4 running backs have hit 13 fantasy points against these Cowboys.
Yeah.
So without him getting more passing game involvement, I know he's getting a bunch of volume, but he needs to get in the end zone in order to be able to help pay that off. So I have him just outside my top 20 with only 2 teams on a bye. He's somebody that I would look at as a low-end RB2 or a flex play if you need DeAndre Swift this week. Stefan, you mentioned that we are going to have Dallas Goedert back. Is he just right back into it being a top 10 tight end for you?
Yeah, he is. 7+ targets in 5 games. So he got off to that really slow start, and then they started to get him the ball more often. And now they're missing him too. You know, they've been leaning on more 4 wide sets, and they didn't even target Julio against San Francisco and you have Zacchaeus and Quez Watkins, it's fine. But they need Dallas Goedert and his, you know, 5 to 8 targets per game. I suspect he'll be a guy you could start right away. I have him 7th on my board. So, yeah, I'd start him.
You can throw him out there.
Yeah, I mean, you know the state of tight end. Yeah. Once you start to get to the bottom of that 10th, 11th, 12th, yeah. Goddard's probably going to be one of your best options.
Well, without Dallas Goedert, we've actually seen Devontae Smith, it seems like, get an uptick in usage.
Sure has.
Since week 8, I'm going to just, this is what he has done. 22.9 fantasy points, 14.1. 15.9, and then 23.6 and 24.6. He's had at least 14 fantasy points in five straight games. Do you think that with Dallas Goedert coming back and having another piece in this offense that we're going to see that drop a little bit?
Oh, yeah. His targets have gone up without Goedert, and that's been a trend in the past. So I do think that there will be an effect here. You mentioned it. I mean, eight-plus targets in 3 straight. Mm-hmm. So he's averaging 9 per game, 6.8 per game with Dallas Goedert. One thing I will say, though, is he's had 20 plus fantasy points in 5 straight games. So that traces back to when Goddard was still playing. So maybe there was something starting to develop there before.
Okay.
Before Goddard went down. I'll add that in. Tough matchup here as well. You know, Dallas really good against the pass as well on top of the run. But he did score a touchdown when they played a few weeks ago. Only 3 targets, but at 51 yards and a touchdown. He's playing well enough now. There's enough volume. The offense is good enough. He's a wide receiver 2 or 3 at worst.
Yeah.
3 at worst in this matchup. Yeah, we're starting him.
Even with Dallas Goedert coming back and understanding we do have a lowered expectation based on more targets having to be spread to other people, there's no way that I can take Devontae Smith out of my lineup based on what he has been doing recently.
Right, and that's what I mean. Like, he was already startable before Goedert got hurt, right? So he was better. He was certainly better without Goedert, but still a guy you're starting, no doubt.
All right, let's talk Bills and Chiefs here. This is both a good one and unbelievably frustrating. Two teams that I feel like have not looked like the teams we thought they were going to look like this year, both Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes. Allen, while he has been one of the best fantasy quarterbacks in the game, leads the NFL when it comes to turnovers at the quarterback position.
Does, yeah.
And Patrick Mahomes has not looked like Patrick Mahomes this year. So let's start on the Chiefs side of the football. Are you still sticking with him, or is there any way that you're like, nah, I'm out on Patrick Mahomes as a starting quarterback?
I'm going to start him, and one of the reasons for that is that the Bills have had some key injuries defensively, and they're not a dominant defense against the pass or at all. So the matchup is not anything I'm worried about. The Chiefs are at home. This is a big game coming off a loss. They need another win. I mean, both of these teams, certainly the Bills more desperate for a win, but you know, they're going to, Chiefs are going to come out firing, no doubt about it. But the ceiling just isn't as high for Mahomes as it was in the past. He has 2 weekly finishes better than 7th. And it's been, lately, it's been worse. I mean, his last 5 finishes are 31st, 11th, 14th, 8th, and 14th. His only games with more than 2 touchdowns, the Chargers and the Bears.
Yeah.
This isn't a super hard matchup, but it's not the Chargers and Bears, you know, so... I'm definitely worried about it. I don't know if we're getting 22, 25, unless this becomes one of them shootouts between 2 rivals in the AFC, but yeah, I'm still going to start him.
I think you have to start him just because he is Patrick Mahomes, but
yeah,
this comes, that's really, really where it's
it.
At.
I mean, it comes down to like, this guy's too good. The offense is too pass heavy. Like how extreme do we have to get to bench him? You know what I mean?
Like, or who else do you have to have? Like if you drafted Patrick Mahomes, what other quarterback would you potentially have
on
your roster?
I mean, that's a good question. So Brock Purdy it's a possibility.
Sure.
You might have scooped him up off waivers.
Kyler
at some
Murray,
point.
Like maybe you grab Kyler just because, but like even
well, he's on a bye this week. So
you're not playing him this week.
So it's not him. Yeah. I think it's like Purdy's probably like the best example of someone you may have picked up that's better, a better start. I don't know who else. It's not like Russell Wilson, no. Baker Mayfield, no. Like it's not guys like that, but you're right. There's probably not a guy that's on your team. I mean, Dak Prescott was getting cut in leagues because of how bad that first month was.
Yeah.
So you might have a guy like that. I'm sure there's a few teams that do, but especially if you're in like a 12 team league, he's probably going to be your best option.
Yeah. When you look at these pass catchers, we've been waiting for someone other than Travis Kelce who has not looked like himself this year. And now it looks like we got Rashee Rice, Mike. He has had 19 targets over the last 2 weeks. Rashee Rice has, he's starting to get more volume that we've been asking for. How do you feel about him potentially in this one against the Bills?
I feel great right now because we've seen it in back-to-back games now from Rashee Rice. And it's not just 19 targets. The target shares in those 2 games, by the way, 29% and 31%. Big time. That's huge. Like higher than Travis Kelce-like usage in this Kansas City offense. But again, not just 19 targets, caught 16 of them, showing to be a reliable target, 171 yards and a touchdown. Also, if you're into this kind of thing, he scored a touchdown in every other game going back to week five.
Shut up.
He did not score a touchdown last week. So if you're into that kind of thing,
this is the week.
This is the week. Touchdown should be on the board. Yeah, look, we should not be shocked if he just broke out and now he leads this team in targets going forward. Yep. Because Travis Kelce hasn't been the dominant player he's been in the past. Rice looks like second round pick. I mean, he's supposed to be developing and getting better and turning into a capable starter. We haven't seen that in the Kansas City offense in a while, probably since Tyreek Hill, honestly. Mm-hmm. He was actually a later round pick, but there were reasons for that. Them develop a guy into a number one for Patrick Mahomes. It's been a while. So maybe this is the guy, and he's looked like it the last 2 weeks.
He absolutely has. There's a lot of his damage in the slot as well. Mm-hmm, Bills sure middle of the pack against the wide receivers in the slot, so he's in a really good matchup here. I will take that anytime touchdown, good sir. I'm going to go for it this week.
Rashee Rice, anytime touchdown?
Anytime touchdown, based on the fact that he only scores on odd weeks. That's all that I need.
Well, maybe you could add that to our fantasy focus parlay, which we're going to get to a little later in the show.
Yes, we will.
One for one on that hit last week, so we'll see if we can do it again. Foreshadowing.
That's so funny.
One of them's from this game, by the way. We did not talk about what it is, but one of the legs of that parlay will come from this.
Will come from this. Yeah. I love that. We will dive into that a little bit later in the show. All right, back here on Fantasy Focus, Mike Clay and Daniel Dobb going through the Week 14 preview. Mike, let's dive into a Bengals and Colts game that we have on tap for us. We have got Zach Moss without Jonathan Taylor here. We thought last week was going to be a big Zach Moss week against the Titans. Titans do have a good run defense, mm-hmm. but it was just one of those situations where if he's going to get all that volume, you can't not play Zach Moss. Yes. Unfortunately, it was not fantastic. This week against the Cincinnati Bengals, the Bengals are not the Tennessee Titans defense when it comes to stopping running backs.
Yeah, so Field and I have kind of had it out on this one because last week he wasn't as high on Moss, and I kind of talked him into into him. Yeah, he's not super thrilled. But I say go back to the well with Zach Moss. I feel maybe just as, or maybe like 95% as confident as I was last week. But the volume was great. I mean, he still played 94% of the snaps, 19 carries, 3 targets in that game. Earlier this season, there was that 4-game stretch where Jonathan Taylor was out, or then he returned, only played 10 snaps. Moss was the clear feature back. He had 3 great games, 20 plus point games. One of them was a dud. So we've seen this before where he's the feature back and didn't just light it up. Yep. And he bounced back the following week and had another good game. So not super worried about it. They're playing the Bengals neutral matchup. The Colts running backs as a whole are 8th in touches. You know they're going to get that. He's going to get a lot of volume in this one. And there's like no competition for touches here. They have a rookie off the practice squad who's in 2, and they have Trey Sermon who's a 3. I have no real qualms about Zach Moss. I have him 6th in my rankings, and I'm going to chase the volume just like we did with Zeke Elliott, and it should work. He's startable, and he's already shown they can be a top 5 fantasy running back.
I've got him as RB4. 8 different running backs have hit at least 15 fantasy points against the Cincinnati Bengals. You know for a fact that Zach Moss can get there. If he gets into the end zone, I think we're going to have a 9th running back see at least 15 or more fantasy points against this defense. What about Joe Mixon on the other side? And I don't want to have this be
this
slander.
Is a fun one, yeah.
I was talking with our producer, Tyler, before the show. He's a Bengals fan. I just don't feel like I have Joe Mixon as a top 16 running back this week, right? Mm-hmm. Getting a lot of volume within this offense. I don't see the juice from Joe Mixon that we have seen in the past. He mm-hmm. is getting volume, and that's why I have him where he's ranked right now. Mm-hmm. But I don't see the same type of juice that I see from Joe Mixon in the past here. But if he's going to get this kind of work with Jake Brown under center, going to be involved as part of the passing game, where do you have him this week taking on this team?
Yeah, so after we saw last week and the fact that he's 5th in carries, 8th in catches, 13th in yards at running back, no doubt start. I mean, there's no doubt. That's number one. It's also a good matchup, by the way. Colts 4th most yards, touchdowns, and fantasy points to running back. So those two things, the volume, the good matchup, no doubt lineup lock. The question I have is, what is this backfield going to look like going forward? Because we did start to see a change early in that game. And there was, like, I even tweeted about it. I was like, there's some reason for panic here, because in the first quarter, Chase Brown handled 5 of their 6 running back carries. And we were like, is this happening?
Is this
done with the efficiency's not there. So a little bit of a change. They're going to split the backfield. I don't know if it was, look, Brown was playing well. So I don't know if it was something like, this is a good game, a close game. We need to win. We want a reliable Joe Mixon on the field. But from that point forward, Mixon had 13 carries to just 3 for Chase Brown, and in total played 51 snaps, only 11 for Chase Brown. Mixon also a season high 7 targets in this game. So I'm not sure now. Maybe Brown comes out as the hot hand this week and they expand his workload even more and it's more of a committee and that hurts Mixon. But after how the last 3 quarters went last week and in this matchup, I'm not too wary about it. I mean, Mixon should be in lineups.
He's going to be the guy. He keeps getting passing game work. Yeah. He keeps getting the goal line work. The thing is, when you average like 3.5 yards per carry, it just doesn't look all that exciting or explosive. That's part of why, like, Chase Brown, 9 for 61. I mean, you see some of those big plays we haven't seen from Joe Mixon. That's what I'm wondering. Are the Bengals going to find a couple of ways to get the ball into Chase Brown's hand? I don't think that it's going to be enough to make it so that I can't play Joe Mixon this week. He's still got to be a part of your fantasy lineup because the volume's just too good.
Not yet. I mean, if it ends up a Najee Harris Warren split during the fantasy playoffs, that's a concern, but I'm with you. We're not there yet.
Yeah.
We're not there yet.
What about Jake Browning? Did you see enough from him last week with how he looked to think that, like, I know you said earlier in the show that Bailey Zappi's not a streamer, but is Jake Browning a potential streamer here for you?
Maybe. I mean, he had the full arsenal of targets in this one. He had T. Higgins back to go with Jamar Chase and had, you know, Mixon in the backfield, had Tyler Boyd in the slot. And what have we been saying the past few weeks? The scouting report on him is he needs a really good supporting cast around him and he can do the job. Like, he can get them the football and, you know, he's athletic enough. He can do a little with his legs, which he did. He scored a touchdown in this game with his legs. That's where what he needs to thrive. And I'll tell you what, he had a great game. I mean,
he had an awesome game.
32 of 37, 354 yards and 2 total touchdowns in the game.
Yep.
He was awesome. So I think the main thing is, okay, he's good enough to get the ball to the skill guys. So I have hope for Jamar Chase and of course, T. Higgins. He had a slow start, but maybe at some point gets going. The problem this week is, even with the state of quarterback, I don't think I'm going to stream him yet. First of all, I'm going to see it again.
Okay, that's fair.
Second of all, how about this? The Colts, weeks 1 through 3, first 3 games of the year, allowed 17-plus fantasy points in all 3 games to the opposing quarterback. Since then, their last 9 games, how many have hit 17, do you think?
Probably 6 of them.
1.
Whoa!
Only 1. No one has been over 19 points. They're top 5 in sacks and interceptions.
Seriously.
Schedule has been much lighter, but you can almost say Jake Browning fits right in with that because he's an unproven commodity. So, I don't know. I think it's a obviously low odds he hits 20 in this one. So is that enough to stream him, an unproven quarterback in this match? I don't think so.
And you shouldn't really be in a spot unless you were desperate at quarterback where Kyler Murray like became your quarterback in the second half
that
of the season.
That happened to me, yeah.
Well,
I had Burrow and but then I had there Murray you go. As well, okay. Sitting on IR. So
like you shouldn't be in a spot to be streaming with only 2 teams on a bye because you're talking Sam Howell and Kyler Murray are the only 2 quarterbacks that you don't have at your disposal this week.
Oh, I
gotcha.
I see what you're saying. Yep, I'm with you.
But ideally, if you needed him, he did look great last week. We could see what he looks like this week. Mm-hmm. I'd rather go a different direction if I could. But I
agree.
I am a Jake Browning fan. I do want to root for this kid because it was really fun to be able to watch him last
story.
Week.
I love stuff like this. Yeah, it's awesome.
I do want to see him get T. Higgins more involved. And that is one of the things where it's like, I can't totally say this because it's like, just throw the ball to Jamar Chase as much as possible because that is what I want him to do. But he still has another superstar wide receiver that we haven't really been a big part of this offense in T. Higgins, even though I know that T is a guy that is a potential superstar at the wide receiver position. When you haven't seen it throughout the season because of injuries and inconsistent quarterback play and all these things, how are you ranking him here in week 14, Mike?
Yeah, I'm at 34th. I'm hoping the second game back now, second game healthy, he was out for about a month, for second full game with Jake Browning, maybe they get him going, get him the ball a little more. Yeah. I will say this, he caught all 3 targets. They only threw it his way 3 times. He caught them all for 36 yards. And in his 4 prior full games when he was healthy, 7-plus targets in all of them. And, you know, we've seen upside. It's like he has a big game and then gets hurt over and over this season. It's been a really disappointing season as he enters a contract year or is in a contract year. So it's been tough, but he does have 2 games with 19-plus fantasy points. We've seen it. You know, it's not like it's just been complete disaster all year. Colts mid-pack against receivers. I think he's a viable deep league flex. Not a must start, though. He's not a lineup lock. He's not the top 15 guy we were hoping for.
Yep.
But I definitely feel, if Browning was really poor again last week, I mean, he might be 50th in our rankings. You know, at least there's some hope here based on what we saw last week.
Reason for optimism based on what Jake looked like. I'm totally with you on that. All right, let's talk about Justin Jefferson, Mike. I'm so pumped about this, to be able to get this kid back for our fantasy roster in time for the playoffs. Hopefully, if you have Justin Jefferson, you are still in the playoff hunt. But if you have Justin Jefferson on your roster, Mike, how do you rank him this week?
Yeah, so remember, this is different, okay? It's not just him coming back from an injury. There's a different quarterback.
There is.
And check this out. So 529 career targets Justin Jefferson has.
Okay.
529 to his career.
Yep.
How many of them did not come from Kirk Cousins?
I'll say 206 of them.
12.
Okay.
I mean, so close.
But a little off.
But also not close at all. I mean, really just not, just a swing and a miss.
Only 12 targets from a guy not named Kirk Cousins in his career.
Sean Mannion threw 12 of the targets. All the rest were Kirk Cousins. 98% of the passes from one guy. So this is different. This is going to be a little different seeing him with Josh Dobbs, who's going to get the start this week. And who knows? Josh Dobbs might not make it through this game. Nick Mullins at some point could take over. They're still trying to figure that out. But Dobbs will get another shot in this one. The good news is Dobbs had some success with Hollywood Brown in Arizona. Not as much so far since he's gotten to Minnesota a little bit. I mean, we'll get to Jordan Addison in a minute. But here's the thing. Jefferson, earlier this season, four full games, 24 plus fantasy points in all of them, had 149 plus yards in three, 85 yards and a touchdown the other. I mean, look, if he's active, you start Justin Jefferson. He's just too good. I mean, if it just goes down in flames and he doesn't have a good connection with Dobbs and only sees five targets, like, that's a chance you have to take.
I am totally with you on that. We have been waiting to get Justin Jefferson back. Yeah. I am hoping, and I would expect that Kevin O'Connell would be in a spot where regardless who is under center, they're going to find ways to manufacture touches for Justin Jefferson.
Yeah, no doubt. And pretty good matchup too. Raiders kind of mid-pack, but all kinds of personnel issues at corner. They're still trying. I mean, the Patriots waived Jack Jones and he's like a full-timer now for the Raiders because they cut Marcus Peters. So good spot for him.
How are you looking at the rest of these wide receivers? Obviously, we're starting TJ Hockenson at the tight end position, but you've got Jordan Addison, KJ Osborne we're sort of out on. What are you looking at for Addison?
Osborne's long gone. I mean, they're going to have to feature Jefferson, Addison, and Hockenson. There's not going to be much to go around with this isn't a Kirk Cousins high volume offense from a month ago. So Addison, I'm a little concerned. I mean, look, Jefferson was averaging 11.8 targets per game and he was on the field. Addison was at 5.0 per game in those four games with Jefferson. Okay. He's been at 7.9 in eight games since. Now, he's a first-round rookie. You'd expect the trajectory to go up. But also, he hasn't been good for the last month. He's been under 11 fantasy points in four straight.
Mm-hmm.
So you add that to Jefferson coming back? No, I'm not feeling great. I think he's a guy you can consider sitting if you have a good wide receiver situation. He's 40th in my ranks. I'm definitely worried. Like, you try to do the math on this Minnesota offense and distribute enough targets to make Jefferson a wide receiver one and to make Hockenson
a
top three tight end.
Yep.
Or top three, top five, tight end, whatever. Get a few to the running backs out of the backfield, a couple, some scraps for KJ Osborne. Still, you're like, man, there's not much here for Jordan Addison. So I've definitely some concerns about his upside. He's very much going to be boom bust down the stretch, I think.
Justin Jefferson and TJ Hockenson are the lineup locks from this Vikings offense. And Addison, to me, is more of a low end, deeper league flex until we start to see some things with Justin Jefferson back with Dobbs under center. All right. Diving into a handful more topics here, Mike Clay, I want to ask you really quickly about Cooper Kupp.
Mm-hmm.
Are you benching him this week?
I'm not. I'm 28th. I'm gonna stick it out. It would be hard to bench him coming off a game where he had, what was it, 8 targets and a touchdown last week. So I know the yards haven't been there, but that's enough targets for me. It's enough production. That was his most targets since week 8. First touchdown since week 6. I get all the concerns here. Under 50 yards in 6 straight games.
It's
a lot of red flags. Really tough matchup on the road against Baltimore. And I'm just talking myself. Right out of this.
I mean, here's the thing.
Let me just add on though. I know there's a lot of negatives, is my point. He's still Cooper Kupp. He's still going to get a lot of volume, and they're still going to have to throw the ball a lot, most likely, as a heavy underdog in Baltimore. So there's enough here to start him, but he's not wide receiver 4 anymore.
Correct.
He's wide receiver 28.
I think that's where I am at as well, Mike, when I look at him, because of the fact that I think this is a bad matchup, right? But one of the things that Field talks about is, okay, if I'm looking at wide receivers in the 25 to 30 range, who has the best chance to get to 20 or 25 fantasy points? Even though Cooper Kupp has struggled, there is an easy understanding of how Cooper Kupp in this Rams offense with Matthew Stafford could be a guy that could at least get some, especially if he's still getting volume, could get some easy fantasy points. So
yeah, and I think that's fair. But also when you're getting 7, 8, 9, 10 targets, you're also like have one of the best chances to get to 12 points.
A good floor. Exactly.
For your flex or wide receiver three, that's fine. Like sometimes you need guys that are just going to get you there as opposed to starting Drake London, who might get you a one or 20, you know, three times a year, he might get you 19, 20 points.
Yep.
But he's a really low floor. And that's part of the case here with Kupp.
All right. We talked about potential streamers when we were talking about Patrick Mahomes, right? Who would you start maybe over Patrick Mahomes? Is Jordan Love in a spot where you would consider using him as a streamer? And I'm not trying to do a Jordan Love versus Patrick Mahomes, but like Love has come on recently in the last couple of weeks, Mike.
Yeah. I think that you can have that conversation if you have both guys. I would lean toward Mahomes in this game against Buffalo. Because again, I think there's a potential for him to be throwing a ton in this game against the Bills, potential high scoring game. Whereas Love, I mean, they might score some touchdowns early playing the Giants, low scoring game, running the ball in the second half. This is a game they should win comfortably. And that's a concern, but you know, Love has been kind of up and down. He had the three big games to open the season.
He
had, all of the games were under 17 points, and then his last three were 20 plus as well. He is trending up. He's 10th in rushing yards a quarterback.
Yep.
He's 4th in passing touchdowns among quarterbacks, mid-pack matchup. I mean, he's fine. He's a fringe QB one.
His main wide receiver over the last 2 weeks, we don't think is going to play this week. We already have Christian Watson zeroed out in our projections here. And I don't know, based on what we talked about with Stefanio, if we're going to see Aaron Jones or not. So there may be a few less targets within this offense for him. If there is no Christian Watson, is there a wide receiver that you like? Is Jaden Reed clearly taking over as the guy in this offense?
I think that's, if I'm picking between the two Packers receivers, yes, I would lean towards Jaden Reed. They're giving them the ball as a rusher on top of what he does in the passing game. I know he had the dud last week, but he had 15 plus fantasy points in his prior three full games. So he has been pretty good. Also, his targets were higher by about one or two per game when Watson was out at the beginning of the season. And that takes me to Romeo Doubs, whose targets were definitely a little, very all over the map, volatile, higher when Watson was out earlier this season. 5 targets, 3 targets, 12 targets. And 14 targets, had 3 touchdowns in those 4 games. So I know his volume's been down 6 or fewer in 5 straight for him, but he has 7 touchdowns in 12 games.
7 touchdowns in 12 games.
This Romeo Doubs. And again, 3 of them happened earlier this year when Watson was out. Also, do you know Watson's top 5 in end zone targets this season?
I was just going to, so that's part of what I'm trying to look up right now. Understanding that there's no Christian Watson and that how much Jordan Love looked at him in the end zone.
Yeah.
Wasn't Romeo Doubs, like, would he be the guy that you would think those targets would go to next?
Yeah, I do think that. Dontavian Wicks will have a role as well as the 3, but Luke Musgrave's also out. So I think that both of these guys are starting fantasy options. I have Doubs 35th. I have Reed 30th this week. Those targets have to go somewhere though. I mean, but isn't that unreal? Watson missed all that time and he is top 5 in the NFL.
He is.
And I'm not just counting weeks he played. I'm including all the weeks he missed.
Looking at it right now, he has 14 end zone targets. He is 3rd in the NFL, and Romeo Doubs has 12 end zone
targets.
He's
up there as well, too. So, number one is a guy. Actually, we'll save number one on that list.
Yeah.
Because he's gonna come up here shortly.
To your point, though, I do want to say this. As much as we've gone back and forth on the Christian Watson, Romeo Doubs thing, there, like, volatility is the perfect word to use for Romeo Doubs. Sometimes he gets a handful of targets and they are super efficient within this offense. And sometimes he's just not really utilized in that same way. So it's not like because Christian Watson is out, Romeo Doubs is just an easy fill in. There is some nuance as to figuring out how to.
Yeah, I just realized Doubs' season is very much like Brandon Ayuk in a lot of ways, where he's just like, Ayuk just hasn't had many targets for the most part. His target numbers are pretty low.
He's just crazy
but
efficient.
But he's just scoring a bunch of touchdowns and bunches. He's at a higher floor. It's just like much better offense in San Francisco, but it's like Brandon Ayuk light, like the flex version of Brandon Ayuk is kind of what Doubs has done. It's probably the best comp.
I definitely won that board bet, by the way. Do you want to give me the victory on that?
What's the board bet?
The Debo one. The Debo board bet with Field.
Do you want me to give you the W now, even though the season's not over yet?
Yeah. I would think it's pretty clear, though. Like, I've made it very clear I would rather have Brandon Ayuk at cost than Debo.
At cost. But that's not your board bet, though, right? It's who's going to score more fantasy points.
We did a top 20 between the two, yes. But I made it very clear within that board bet that I would rather have Brandon Ayuk over Debo Samuel.
Yeah, so I mean, I think at cost, that was a good call. Yeah, that was definitely a good call.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
You said Dobbs at cost over Watson, too, so you nailed that one, too.
Hey, man, that's another one. Hey, right. I should have been like, hey, what do you think about Nico Collins? If I had stuck on Nico Collins a little harder, then I feel like then I would have had the trifecta of...
Yeah, that's just tough because you just don't know with rookie quarterbacks. We didn't know. I mean, we even had in the no preseason, idea. We didn't know he was going to be this good. So,
well, speaking of Nico Collins, let's dive into these Texans here because CJ Stroud, who would have thought CJ Stroud would be the guy that he has turned into this year? Unfortunately, Mike, we have seen him play with Tank Dell, and Tank Dell has been awesome all year long. Yeah. This week, we are not going to have Tank Dell out there as he is on IR, unfortunately, with a fractured fibula. So now we've got a condensed target tree. Nico Collins, you've got Noah Brown, and you're looking at, I don't know, is Dalton Schultz is still out?
I don't think he's going to play. Or was he? I think he was limited and then sat out. Practice. So he may be back this week.
Yeah, but we're looking at a smaller target tree here when you're looking at the Houston Texans, especially Nico Collins. How high do you have him this week without Tank Dell in the lineup?
Yeah, I mean, Nico, it's the matchup against the Jets. It's the only reason he's not higher. So we have him as a good wide receiver too. Might not be surprising if he has a decent game and decent volume in this one against the Jets, maybe 12 fantasy points that we rank him top 10 next week. That's about what he's been delivering this season. But this is tough. He plays mostly outside. That's going to mean a lot of Sauce Gardner. It's going to mean a lot of DJ Reed, probably 80% of the time. That's a brutal matchup. I mean, the Jets have allowed some decent games over the last few weeks to wide receivers. Over the last month, they've allowed five receivers to get to 12 fantasy points. So there's some hope that he can put a decent game together, but the ceiling's obviously lower against this defense.
Yes, a little lowered expectation because of that, but Nico's still easily a top 20 wide receiver guy that we have as a lineup lock for our fantasy roster. If there was someone else in this wide receiving core, for me, it would be Noah Brown if I needed to take a shot on someone. I like him quite a bit more than Robert Woods, but he's not, to me, a lineup lock. Even without Tank Dell, I have him more as a low-end flex if you need him, like a deeper flex in a deeper league. How are you looking at Noah Brown?
Yeah, tough to call a guy who had zero catches last week, a lineup lock, right? It's tough. And he played 79% of the snaps. He was out there a lot. I'm not super worried about that just because it was the Nico Collins show, right? He had almost 200 yards. Yeah. He was open. He just kept throwing it to his guy, and you understand that. So I think better days ahead for Brown. Remember, every other game he's played this season, he's had at least four targets, and that was often with Tank Dell and Nico Collins both on the field. And his two games prior to the stud had 153 yards and a touchdown and 172 yards. So there's definitely a lot of potential here for Brown in this offense. Tough matchup, though. I'm with you. Deep league flex at best, just for this
just week. For this week. Yeah, this matchup is just tough against the Jets.
Yeah, they should be in rosters. Yeah.
Yes. If this was any other matchup rather than the Jets, then they would both be higher on this list. But it's definitely a tough one there. All right, back here on Fantasy Focus, Mike Clay and Daniel Dott making our way through our Week 14 preview. Mike, we got a parlay in front of us. You hit. Last week, I was not here on Friday, but you gave us an ESPN bet parlay. I don't think it's a coincidence. I think I was still a part of it. I was simpatico with you from a distance. But this week, when you're looking at putting together a parlay for ESPN bet, tell me, what do you like?
Yeah, we'll see if we could do this again. These are all coming from the betting playbook. So this is going to be up at ESPN Plus today. Same as last week. We went 10-2 last week. We'll see if we could do it again. So parlay for... this week, we're going to start with Josh Allen. We teased it earlier. Yes, to throw an interception. Well, how about this, Daniel? He's thrown an interception in 8 straight games and 14 of his last 16, tracing back to last season.
Nothing to be frustrated about with that.
Yeah, no doubt. He's going to be throwing a lot in this one, so potential for a pick. CeeDee Lamb mentioned this one as well. Who's leading the league in end zone targets?
CeeDee Lamb
by 2 over any other player. He is 17. He's also facing the Eagles, who have allowed the most touchdowns, 23, to wide receivers this season. CeeDee Lamb, anytime touchdown is what I like into this one. Do you know the only team not to have a wide receiver touchdown against the Eagles this year?
I would guess the 49ers.
It was the team that beat them, the Jets. They were the only team to not score. Yeah, the only one that they weird.
That's not surprising, actually, now that I know that.
So I like that one. And then the last one, the third one here, Chuba Hubbard, over 11.5 carries. It just seems too low. He had 25 last week. He had 14 the week before. He's averaging 14.6 per game since he started playing over half the snaps. And by the way, he has at least 11 carries in every game in which he's played at least half the snaps, 64% each of the last 2 weeks. So that's kind of the kind of silly one that we're just playing the volume game. The other two kind of flashier at the pick and the touchdown, but I like this one.
I like it too. I think this feels really good to me, Mike, putting these three together. Download the ESPN Bet app. You must be 21 or older. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Let's get it.
Yeah, I am ready to be able to hit that parlay. I'm definitely going to play that one this week, Mike.
Got it, man. Got it. One for one.
That's right.
It's like plus 357, something like that.
Let's keep it moving. All right, let's do some starts of the week here, Mike Clay. Week 14. I'm going to let you go first. If you have a start of the week here, who are you playing your flag on? You want me to go first? Okay.
No, I mean, I'll go first. I mean, this one I picked kind of because I thought Field would be here at that time.
And we've been arguing, kind of a thing?
Well, no, we've been arguing about Austin Eckler all week long. All right. So usually I go with more of a borderline flex guy, but this week I had to be Austin Eckler because he's really down on him. Major concerns. There's been reports that this could be more Josh Kelly, which
I heard that.
It's kind of bizarre because he really struggled earlier this season.
He has not looked good.
Really, really struggled. I think Austin Eckler bounces back this week. I think with all the noise, I think he gets it going. A lot of reasons for that. Yes, he had three duds in a row now.
Yep.
Only 27 yards last week, but he still had 16 touches. Touches haven't been as high as last year, but they're still kind of solid. Scoring the occasional touchdown. His snaps, carries, and route participation all up from last year.
Yep.
So he's been on the field quite a bit. And remember, this isn't a full season slump for Austin Eckler. Before this three-game slump, three straight top six finishes among running backs. So he was delivering the fantasy points there prior to this recent run here, and they're playing the Broncos.
Ooh.
Better against running backs lately, but still the most fantasy points allowed to running backs this season, even if you remove the Dolphins game, which was the ultimate outlier we've seen in like stats over the last decade, certainly from a fantasy perspective. You throw that away, still 5.1 yards per carry to running backs.
Wow.
So I think even if the touches are down a little, I think Eckler has a better day.
I'm going to go with Rasheed Rice as my start of the week. We already talked about him a little earlier in the show, but 16 catches, over 160 yards over the last two games. And Mike, you've said it. Touchdown in every other game since week five. I think this is a spot against the Buffalo Bills, who are middle of the pack when it comes to wide receivers in the slot, where you can see some good volume with Rasheed Rice. Keep it going based on what we've seen over the last couple weeks. I do think that we are starting to see the breakout of rookie Rasheed Rice in the second half of the season in your fantasy playoffs. I love him as a potential starter this week.
Mm-hmm. I'm with
like
you.
Him a
we
lot.
Talked about him before. I think we're in on him now.
Yeah.
He might be... Need one more decent game.
Yeah.
And then a certified lineup. Like, he's probably a lineup lock now, but
yeah.
You know, the Chiefs like to play with us when it comes to wide receivers.
Yes,
makes me a little nervous, but I'm feeling good.
Thank you so much, Mike, for being here, not just
always
this week,
fun.
But for all the last week while I was gone and helping pick up the slack while I was out. I appreciate
Look,
you,
Look, I'm just glad you're healthy, ready to go, and pumped for FF now on Sunday.
That's right. Going to be a ton of fun. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. We love you guys. Don't forget to love each other. Be kind to yourself. We'll see you on FF now on Sunday morning. Peace.
Secret, not a mystery, the one that we depend on for all our podcast needs. Graduate Full Sail, you a Lions fan through and through, with the hippest beard, I'm telling you.